Hello, everyone. Irit Izips here for CSM Practice, the customer success strategy consulting firm. And today we have another podcast episode mainly dedicated to those of you who are always thinking about how do I prove the return on investment in setting up a customer success team? I think a lot of us just set it up and then do some stuff, but how can we really prove we made a difference and we made an impact? And I think there's some nuances in that. I can't wait to have this discussion with Rebecca Nirod, who has just recently became a VP of Customer Success at Forkites. Congratulations on the move, Rebecca.
Thank you, Irit.
That's awesome news. I'm sure you're going to do very well there, but I'm sure as you're starting this new role with this new company, well, it's not a new role. You've done this for many, many years already, but as you start this, basically this new job, top of mind for any customer success executive is what changes do I make? And then how do I prove that whatever strategy I've implemented in year one is actually making an impact? How do you think about it, Rebecca?
I think that's one of the biggest challenges in customer success is because the role is about communication, relationships, being a trusted advisor. But how do we measure those things? In particular, when we're working with all these cross-functional teams like product or support that also have an impact and influence on what we do. But we can't be afraid of those metrics and understanding them as customer success leaders. We need to be able to lean into them to be able to explain to our leadership what we do, the value that we provide. You mentioned, of course, for me, I'm delighted to be starting at Forkites. Mm-hmm. It's another company in the supply chain software space. That's what I do, build customer success practices in supply chain. And at Forkites, I'm very thankful there already is a team in place. So I'll be having team leaders reporting directly to me who have CSMs under them. But when we look at things like, how do we grow? What makes sense to plan for the coming year? Other companies consider ROI when they're in times of cost cutting and how do I justify the team members? And sometimes it's even how do I build from scratch? But we have to be more metrics driven when we're presenting to our leadership about what that value looks like and how we justify our teams, our technology that we're using.
Okay. So you talk about justifying the investments you need in people and technology. Tell me a little bit about how do you think about it? Because here's the thing. Here's what I hear a lot from other customer success executives. The board comes in or the executive line comes in and then they say, well, we want you to reduce churn by 2% or 1%. And that's, to me, a lagging indicator. And I think that if I were just to take it verbatim, I would just go gung-ho, take a look at all of my customers at risk, and I would forget basically all that we've learned about how customer success should look like, and I would just go very reactive on customers at risk. How do you get away from that? And how do you position and or teach the board how to really look at things and what kind of KPIs do you promote in terms of proving your ROI?
That's the challenge, is to really be able to define our impact. Look, I think churn is going to continue to be an important metric to understand. How do you measure it? How do you track it? How do you track reasons? And related to that, for customer success, of course, is net revenue retention or gross revenue retention, depending on, of course, I think you should look at both. And even if the customer success team isn't responsible for the commercial negotiations for the renewals, it's still a metric that we need to understand and so report up on, even if sales is responsible for some of those negotiations, because that's an important indicator of that ongoing relationship, the trust that they have to come back to the company. So I do think that NRR, that's an obvious starting point, but not just to understand and hold a single number like churn or NRR, really what are all those interrelated metrics too? For example, if you're looking at NRR as opposed to GRR, then you're looking at cross-sell, upsell. Well, what's the customer success manager's impact on that? You may have a model where the CSMs have a quota associated. Of course, that's a hotly debated topic. I don't know if we want to get into, or if it's instead, if you have a spiff or a reward for cross-sell, upsell, but you certainly do need to look at customer success qualified leads where CSMs impact those. And then understanding all of those metrics together. Yes, it leads to churn, of course, or churn prevention. Where can you actually pull out where CSMs specifically have saved particular deals? If you can highlight individual examples as part of the metric story where CSMs have had an impact. I think there's a lot there that the measurements point to, but I would also be skeptical about signing up to a particular churn percentage alone until you really understand some of the impacts and ownership.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows to reduce churn, you have to have a really good product that's stable, that's technologically mature. And then if you supplement with customer success, then you're going to see higher retention rates. I think the pitfall is where the technology is either unstable or immature. And then you slap on a customer success team and say, hey, how come your net retention rate is not 123% per year? So that's kind of like the pitfall. All right. So definitely two metrics that you mentioned that you yourself track for your team is the ultimate impact, which is the net retention rate, maybe even gross retention rate, maybe even churn logo and the reason. So you can show that you minimize a specific reason for churn or something sort of like along those lines. What other metrics do you track to show the impact that your team has?
I think to me, an obvious metric is the customer retention cost. Quite simply, understanding the cost per CSM divided by the ARR. So you're saying, how much value does each CSM generate per customer? Now, that's an oversimplification, but you need to understand those metrics to say, what value are these CSMs providing to the business? And that's a metric I use also when I look at segmenting, for example, within the customer base to say, if I have enterprise strategic customers with a certain amount of ARR, about how many CSMs should be assigned to those, as well as for the larger segments of, let's say, a small, medium business, maybe you have more customers per CSM. But when you look at those, you also have to understand what are the real costs of the CSMs themselves, so that you can then relate back the value per CSM.
Okay, so let's say a group of, you have like three CSMs for your the most strategic customers. And so you have, let's say, I don't know, I'm just going to throw a number, $500,000 protecting $7 million of business. What do you represent to the board? Is it $500,000 divided by 700? It's like, okay, so it's less than 10%.
The industry average is actually 6%. But I think it's tough to get into. There's so many variables that go into it. It's hard to really say what it should be at what company's growth timeline. But the important part being understanding the costs of your team, understanding the cost of the CSMs to determine the right number of CSMs to serve which customers and how. And to be very understanding as well of how much it costs to serve some of those customers. That goes beyond customer success. That's from a product and a support perspective. We don't always evaluate that. If we just look at some ARR numbers alone, we need to understand the internal cost to serve these customers. And in particular for CSMs and the justification there, it does need to be related to the ARR, the revenue coming in from those customers. Not to be cold, but sometimes if CSMs are focused only on the service element, only on the customers who are frustrated, then we may be putting our energy into the wrong areas. And similarly, into how many CSMs we should have for various segments or geographies, really to understand what does that cost to our company? And in return to what we get in response from our customers from a revenue perspective.
Okay, so it sounds like what you recommend doing is calculating the cost per CSM, and then how many CSMs serve a specific cohort, what's the total revenues for that cohort, and then see how you benchmark against industry standard, which seems to be about 6%. So that's one way to show, okay, I'm actually aligned with industry benchmarks. it still doesn't give me a sense, okay, you dedicated now, you added, in addition to support and product, you yet added another 6% to the overall cost that we might not have had if you didn't have customer success. How do you show the uplift in performance, whether it's wallet share or otherwise? How do you prove the ROI of that investment?
That's really the key of what we're looking at. And the challenge is that there are different metrics. Churn is an obvious one in NRR. I mentioned CS qualified leads. You have to look at a number of the different metrics, but there are other points like value realization. If your CSMs are involved in onboarding, where may they have improved time to value? There are a lot of different aspects there that I think that CSMs show where their value is shown, where we quite simply need to start understanding those metrics. To me, we first need to look at how do we measure value? How does the customer measure value? And even what is our baseline? Is the baseline before the customer owned our software solution? Or is it before they were assigned a CSM? And so some of those metrics are really hard to understand. My guidance really is to start measuring some of those things even before you understand how to use the data so that you can then try to compare before, after, as you understand CSM influence.
Okay. So for those who watch and say, well, I don't know how to calculate ROI for customers, I have a bunch of videos about that. So I encourage you to take a look at that. So that's one, showing that the ROI for customers is going up, or that we're even able to calculate an ROI for more customers. How do you look at that?
I think to me, it's, again, it's considering multiple impacts. It's directly on the ARR, on where you're retaining revenue, where you're preventing churn, where you're adding to cross-sell, upsell. That's the most obvious one to look at. But there are other areas, even including reduced cost to serve. Where are CSMs adding value to the organization in addition to that renewal process? For example, they may be conducting onboarding. They may be participating in billable consulting opportunities. There are other value adds that the CSMs provide that we need to understand. And again, to the extent that we can measure and share back some of that information.
Okay. So you're bringing up a really good point. Customer success doesn't have to be a cost center. It could be a cost reduction incentive to the organization by replacing some other, maybe more costly functions. But also a very important point is for any customer success executives to think about what kind of services they can charge customers that the CSM can deliver.
That's right. And I think in so doing, you have the opportunity to try to ideate with a certain customer to provide certain services and see how that might go, what that might offer before necessarily instituting an overall program. But by having those CSMs who, again, ideally they're working with the customers, asking the questions about what they need, how they want to grow, that can organically create some more opportunities. In addition to cross-sell, upsell, the idea there of additional services too brings in revenue. And again, to make sure you understand where the CSM has an impact on those things, even as they're being passed on to the sales team or to the consulting team, that we're tracking the CSM's impact on those opportunities.
Okay, so if I were a CS executive and I'm listening to this podcast, what I'm thinking about is, all right, let me take a baseline of what's the type of churn that we're seeing right now? How many number of logos have we seen left the company in the last 12 months before I started to gauge for performance of my CSMs? What is the overall average NRR or GRR? Most people can probably track GRR. NRR, it's a whole different beast. So if you can't track net retention rate, you probably want to start tracking how many upsell leads your team has started to harvest. And of those, how much revenues were actually closed? Did we expand the wallet share? What's the dollar value? You talked about potentially replacing or conducting some services. So here's another aspect that would probably slow down and say, are there any services my customers could benefit from and would be willing to pay for that can help them be more successful with us? And can my customer success team deliver those?
That's right. And I think too often we just give away some of those extra services and customer success because so many things fall into the category of customer satisfaction and retention that we don't think about the revenue possibilities associated with those. For me, it's been important, even when we've said at my prior companies, "Ooh, we need to make an investment. We need to give them something that we don't expect the customer to pay for." Let's say we have a get well plan because for some reason, the product or the implementation team, something was missed. We didn't deliver in a certain way. It's still important to quantify what that is, what our give is, even when we aren't creating an SOW that the customer has to pay for. And that way it's tracking not just the CSM's time, but maybe it's additional product team or professional services consulting, so that again, we understand the impact and the extent to which you can track some of those as they associate with particular products or business units, then the more you're understanding about what's going on in your company.
Okay, so insofar we talked about financial performance like upsell and retention and cost reductions and services that we can sell, lots of revenue-related impacts. What about the other non-monetary impact that customer success has on the organization?
To me, one metric that is brought up often is the idea of customer satisfaction. What about NPS or CSAT? And this one I think is really difficult to measure and present as something that is exclusively customer success related. And I even have a problem creating KPIs for my team members based on this, because oftentimes you'll have your best CSM who you need to give to the most troubled account. And it wouldn't be fair to rate them poorly because the customer comes back with difficult measurements that are often related to other things like other product or service needs. In the same way, I feel that way about customer health. We certainly need to measure and understand customer health and all the impacts on that. But is that exclusively owned by CSMs? And if you start expecting them to be rewarded or for even you to present up to the leadership according to which customers are red, yellow, green, that can actually encourage bad behavior as far as how people are tracking the health of their accounts, which goes against the goal of that in the first place, which is to raise awareness where customers need attention. So I think that's a really difficult topic because we care so much about customer health, about understanding their perception of value and of customer experience. But we really need to be cautious about how to rate it. I think it can work when you have a steady baseline of a customer base and maybe where there's improvement from 1 year or one quarter to the other. But that can also be really tough to measure when you think about realistically about how often you have CSMs assigned to accounts, for how long, and how many other impacts are at play.
Yeah, I agree. So measuring customer success and associating it directly to customer success managers, I could see the conundrum. However, I could tell you, Rebecca, from my experience, when customer success teams intervene and facilitate a better experience for the customer satisfaction rates do go up. I like how you said it. Can we actually create a customer survey or capture customer satisfaction in a way that is contributed directly to the CSM's involvement versus, so a lot of times when we send an NPS survey, the customer is actually scoring us on the product, not the CSM. So I could see the debate about that and why you're like a little bit hesitant about using it. But I think the bottom line is that we should aspire to create a better customer journey for our customers through the establishment of customer success. And just like renewal, we don't really control fully the renewal. We don't fully control upsells. If there's no upsell strategy and there's nothing to upsell, then we're not going to have any upsells, for example. So one could make that argument about almost every metric we shared so thus far. And I think the trick is to just make sure that we measure it in a way that clearly directly impacts who we're measuring, which is the CSM. The other thing that you mentioned is the health score. So I think it's not about, you think you're right. It's not about how many red accounts does each CSM has. I think the right measurement is to say, if I gave every CSM 10 red accounts, how many of them were they able to turn from red to yellow, from yellow to green? I think that calls for the efficacy of the CSM's activities with that account. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah? I absolutely agree with both of those points. And I think some of that relies on the baseline. Right? Mm-hmm. What was it before when the CSM had it, and then what did it become? So really understanding the changing point, the influence of the CSM team and the individuals. So being aware of what the baseline is when you're measuring. And to your point about NPS, I agree as well. I think as long as the NPS process is thorough enough to understand the touch points in the customer journey, and provide space to understand where there are positive and negatives. Of course, the more you understand, that's a balance, right? Because you don't want this lengthy, ridiculous process for them to answer, but to really understand something other than just, you know, a top three, are you happy? To understand what some of those influences are, especially where a CSM, where you can show their impact on that customer journey. Yeah. Absolutely, that's when it would be of more use.
Awesome. Okay. So we talked about monetary metrics and non-monetary metrics. For the non-monetary metrics, you shared two that you're currently looking at. One is the health score and like the impact on the health score. And then the second one is customer satisfaction. You know, when I think about NPS, I often think about promoters. What do you think about advocacy and customer success?
That was the next one I was going to bring up, actually. It is because CS has such an impact on advocacy. I think that's a great way to showcase the work that we're doing. And we don't do enough of that. Mm-hmm. At my last company, I created a path to promoter program where we said, let's look at the customers and say, again, I'm going to say red, yellow, green. Red, they're challenge accounts, they're struggling. For those, we may have to define a get well plan or something, a different path. Many customers fall into that. Again, I'm not saying yellow as in they have issues or it's a health concern, but they're happy, but maybe they aren't promoters. Maybe we haven't talked to them about being an advocate. Maybe we haven't reached out. And then we have those customers who are promoters where they are commonly asked to do a reference call, or maybe they speak on our behalf, or they do a case study. And we too often leverage that same smaller set of customers without thinking about what other customers might be able to participate there. And so what I did was create a program where we looked at, first of all, the promoters, those who are already willing to be a reference, but to say, would they be able, interested to create reusable content, something like a case study or participate in a webinar? And that obviously helps that connection with marketing for our company, but then also for the CSMs to look at those accounts where you say, have we asked them? Have we engaged with them to try to see? And we did capture those metrics, right? To start a baseline on here's how the assigned customers per CSM, and actually looking at it for the different industry segments. Yeah. And then what's the baseline versus where did we come in the path to promoter program, where the CSMs themselves were reaching out to the customers to see basically, would they be willing to be an advocate? Of course, this is done together with sales and with professional services, but the CSMs can champion that program because of their relationship with the customers.
Awesome. So if you take the advocacy metrics, just showing the impact of how much advocacy activity the CSM was able to generate, you take a look at the CSAT, the health score movement. Is there anything else you like presenting to the board?
My recommendation would be to really understand your pain points. And they can be unique per customer. And so it's hard for me to give this glorious metric. John Goodman calls it, are you easy to work with? What's the ease of doing business?
Yes. Yeah.
And if you say, where have there been challenges for customers? Where has it been difficult? Where have CSMs needed to come in and save the day, improve a process? So that's not a metric that I can give, but it's your awareness of how your team spends their time. Again, I coach my CSMs to consider what's the right use of their time. Mm-hmm. And if they're giving feedback to you as a CS leader and you understand, wait a second, we're spending a ton of time working on these support issues for a particular product area, then maybe you're taking the time or your CSM is saying, well, what if we change this process, the support process, or what if a support manager did this, and then that would add value to the customer. But you only understand those things by looking more closely at how your team is using their time, how they're covering gaps for other parts of the organization, mm-hmm. and then how you're improving those processes instead of just continuing to do that or thinking that CSMs should be doing those activities, to really understand where to make change to improve that for the future. So I know that doesn't sound like a metric, but to be able to get there and understand it comes from understanding more of those things, like where are customers upset? How are your CSMs using their time to be able to make change on the processes and the responsibilities associated to some of those?
So I think like measuring the CES score before and after implementing improvements on processes can actually benefit a customer success executive in showing the impact that they had had on the customer experience and how easy is it to work with our organization, especially all those siloed processes where we know just the customer is miserably falling in between the chairs. So
I think a challenge there too is we often either working with customers who are, they're paying a lot of money, they have consulting and are rolling out the next upgrade, and a lot of attention is given to these customers, or you have the frustrated customers where you're also throwing a lot of resources to make sure that you're winning them back or making them happy. Mm-hmm. CSMs play an important role at that set of customers in between that are quieter, mm-hmm. where we really need to understand their usage, adoption, value, so they don't become more frustrated or to quietly fade away mm-hmm. and churn. And so how can we measure that? And sometimes that looks like things like engagement, or even understanding how often are we doing an executive business review? Mm. Although, of course, we all have opinions about how necessary those are and the importance of bringing value when you do. But to look at stakeholder engagement as well is another piece. Again, whether or not or how you measure that, to me, matters less than that you're simply understanding what the right touch points, what the right frequency is for your CSMs. And that may start by simply measuring those things to understand.
So you just started this new job at FourKites as an executive for customer success. What kind of expectations are you aligning with your executive team around performance impact that you're going to have? What is realistic? Can an executive come in and say, I'm going to reduce churn in 3 months?
I'm hesitant to announce any of those things early on till I better understand some of the metrics. I really am encouraged by the customer centricity, first of all, of the company, that truly there is a focus on trying to take care of the customers. So yeah. To me, my job is to get in and understand how are we spending our time and where can we improve on some of those. And it's, some of it comes down to the nitty gritty of the roles and responsibilities and understanding what teams own what. That's where I often start at a company, to really understand their definition of customer success. Does it include the adoption outcome side of things, which it often doesn't? A company's journey and maturation path of what are we actually doing with customer success? And then I think we get to how to improve some of the measurements. I'm not there yet at my new company.
So if they're pushing you to commit to something, you push back and you say, you know what? Give me a couple of months. Let me understand what's going on. Do some sort of an assessment of where I think the gaps are versus best practices, where we need to be. Then I can tell you, what am I going to do? And when are you going to see some impact on lagging indicators like your financial performance versus maybe preliminary and leading indicators, such as maybe customer satisfaction is going to go higher first, or we're going to have less red accounts or whatnot. And then you're going to see an impact on churn. But you're going to push back because obviously, Rebecca, you're a very experienced customer success executive. And this video is for those, I believe, that just inherit that role, whether they are promoted from within for the first time, or they're maybe went through a really great interview cycle and they're getting promoted through getting this new job. And they're going to be put a lot of pressure from the executive team to commit to these kind of like, okay, how much are you going to reduce churn? And I mean, gosh, sometimes I have clients come to me and say, well, if we hire you, are you going to reduce churn by 1% within 6 months? And I'm like, we don't know. We don't know enough. Like, I just met you for like an hour.
I agree. I think that's important. It's difficult to do earlier in your career as a leader to say you don't know because you want to, you're compelled to promise things.
Yeah.
But absolutely, you're right. At this point, I say, what I'm going to come in and do is ask a bunch of questions. Right. I have so many questions about how do we currently measure things? And to me, it's getting to the bottom of, are we even measuring churn right? What should we look at? Creating clear baselines are actually the first step before you can even promise what could be improved upon after that. So it's assuring that you're going to look at the right information, understand it, and then work together. And then of course, yeah, you'll have to make a promise around that.
But I would also push back and say, listen, when I come in, I'm going to do well more than just reduce churn. The first thing I'm going to do is establish trust with your customers or our customers, improve the customer satisfaction, optimize a lot of these processes, make sure we're set up to scale, whatever it is, right? Like increase our advocacy. I'm going to add so much more value than just reduce churn. And I would even push back that if a company hires you to only reduce churn, it probably means that the management team doesn't really understand what customer success is about.
I think that isn't that a chicken and egg question? How much can one leader bring customer success to an organization? To me, the ideal fit is one that really is genuinely customer centric, whether or not they understand all the language that we use in customer success. Are they actually acting in ways that support the team, support the CS and the customer facing teams to provide the best appropriate level of support, not necessarily throwing a bunch of money at customer success without understanding it, but being willing to embrace ways to improve that customer experience by leveraging an executive. I think it's an uphill battle if culturally the company isn't in line with that. And then they think that one person can come and bring that change alone. So I think that's a difficult challenge. Thankfully, I don't feel that way at all about my new company. One of the reasons I chose it, frankly, is I am so delighted by the sense of community that Four Kites has in engaging directly with development and the customer base on what do they want to see. So with that, it brings different challenges to the customer success team too, but that the approach truly is about providing value to customers is a great place to start.
Absolutely. Well, this was a fascinating discussion. I think anybody that has a little bit of trouble or is looking to optimize the way they prove the ROI of customer success within their organization is going to find this podcast really interesting and helpful, hopefully.
Thank you. And I guess one more quick follow-up point. Yeah. It's okay if you don't happen to have a software solution that does A+ measurement of customer health or of some of these metrics. Just start where you are. If it's just adding a couple of fields to Salesforce or even spreadsheet, though we don't want those going forward, just start tracking and understanding what some of those baselines are. And then the more that you can see some of the history and the patterns, the more that you'll be able to explain the activities of your team and the needs of your customers, you'll be able to go from there. But to me, the recommendation is, even before you know exactly what you want to measure or what you want to promise, start gathering that data in the first place.
Well, absolutely fascinating interview. I think this podcast is so great because it gives everybody a sense of how do you actually prove the ROI in investing in customer success, the metrics you need to start capturing to validate and have some sort of a baseline to prove, ask for additional budget. I think everybody here is going to benefit a lot.